The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Benny Goodwill, I am feeling good on a Monday. Let me tell you why I'm feeling good on a Monday. Because there's basketball. It's a playoff basketball. I know a lot of hockey people talk about it. There's nothing like playoff hockey. I'll give it to them. Great. Playoff hockey is fun. There's no carryover from the regular season. Actually, in hockey, a number 8 seed can get to the final and actually win that thing. Unlike in the NBA, you can get there, you probably can't win it as an 8 seed. But in hockey, 6 seed, 7 seed, 8 seed, you can win the damn thing. But playoff basketball is beautiful, Vinny, especially if you want to close your eyes and go back to the 1990s, because that's when Knicks and Pacers was a thing. Reggie Miller, Patrick Ewing, Dale Davis. Who's the other one? Oh, the big day. Antonio Davis. John Starks and Anthony Mason. They had a lot of those cats going back and forth. Knicks, Pacers. And that's what you have tonight. Like, imagine it's the 1990s. You got Tupac on the radio. You got Biggie. You got Montel Jordan. The R&B, I don't know. But that aside, different.
Are you wearing your cross colors? Are you wearing your Guess jeans? You know what I mean? That's super tapered at the bottom. You know what I mean? Like, is that where you're going?
Oh, you can't do that anymore? That's a 90s thing? I didn't know. I just found out. That's a 90s thing? I still do that.
Yeah, it's a 90s thing.
I'm sure you do. The styles are different. Styles on the court are different than they were in the 90s, because Knicks Pacers then was a little bit of a slog. They'd go back. The games would be in the 70s sometimes, in the 80s, and they used to just beat the crap out of each other. I look at this team now. These teams, what a contrast. You see the Pacers, who really are the Pacers, one of the best offensive teams in the NBA in terms of pace, in terms of just shooting threes and just getting into their offense and going in. And the Knicks, look, if you've ever watched Tom Thibodeau, whether he's in Minnesota or Chicago or now New York, you've seen it once, you've seen it 100 times. This is kind of what his teams do. How do you see this series playing out?
Styles make fights. And I think you look at the Pacers and the way that they play so fast. They literally just ran the Milwaukee Bucks out of the building in the first round. They literally just said, we're going to play more possessions than you. You guys can't keep up with us, and we're going to beat you. And that's what happened. In this series, it's going to be a different sort of ball game, because the Knicks can slow the game down, right? They can pound the offensive glass, and they can hound Tyrese Halliburton in the way that the Milwaukee Bucks couldn't. They didn't have the personnel. So now you're going to be playing the chess match between Rick Carlisle and Tom Thibodeau. Like, that's going to be the curious thing for me, is which team is going to impose their stylistic will on the other one. Will it be the Knicks and Jalen Brunson? Like, Jalen Brunson, I don't know if he's entering into like the pantheon of, small guards who can lead a team to the NBA finals, but he's coming across some very impressive company with those 40-point games. You know what I mean? Like, he's playing a certain level of postseason basketball that you've seen great players do at this level. So, and I'll add to the fact, remember, Rick Carlisle had Jalen Brunson as a young player. Mm. and wasn't playing Jalen Brunson as a young player and didn't play him at all in a game seven. It's Rick Carlisle, man. Like, he might wake up on the wrong side of the bed. And part of it was Jalen Brunson's game hadn't yet fully grown and matured. Dallas had yet to figure out exactly the right player to play next to Luka Doncic. You know what I mean? Like, it was a lot of youth going on there. I don't think it was necessarily anything personal. But Jalen Brunson can embrace his petty. He can go look across the way and say, hey, man, you're the reason that it took me a long time to get my money. I'm going to make you pay. And wow, the one thing I am looking forward to, I'm not going to be there. I'm in Denver. But Madison Square Garden, that place is going to be rocking this week. You know what I mean? You talk about the nostalgia of the 90s, but this is the last time that the Knicks were actually culturally relevant in the NBA, where they had a viable chance to get to the NBA Finals. Like, I didn't think the Knicks were going to make the Eastern Conference Finals. When people were saying that early in the season, I thought they were just buying into New York hype. And then things started happening. Then Miami fell off. Then Milwaukee fell off. Then, you know what I mean? And now you're looking at the New York Knicks one series away from the Eastern Conference Finals. And once you get there, anything can happen.
Yeah, and you're right. You're right about Madison Square Garden. Like, you've been there. I've been there. Been there as a fan, been there covering games. And it is something special about the place. It really is. It's not a new arena. We know that. They still have, like, it's the quirkiest arena in the NBA. If you from a coverage standpoint, if your team is there, the way they drive the buses in to the arena and where the buses are parked, you got to kind of walk around this concourse, and it's New York City, so everything is packed in there. You got the post office right over there, and you got Broadway nearby. I mean, you got all this stuff going on in New York City. So it is special. I'll give it that. But I got to say, I mean, you're not a New Yorker. I'm not a New Yorker, so we can kind of make fun of them a little bit. They're pretty self-important for a team that hasn't won a championship in over 50 years.
Were you born when they won the championship? Were you alive when they last won the championship?
You know what I mean? I was alive, but I was like that little baby at that birthday party you just went to. I was watching it, but I couldn't say nothing. I didn't have a word. I didn't quite have a word for it. But let me tell you something. Hey, 1973, Vinny. 1973 is the last time they won a championship. So New York is awesome, the city. And there's something about a New Yorker that get to the point. It's blunt. It's entertaining. But maybe what a lot of people don't talk about in New York is vulnerability and desperation. They're desperate. Desperate to win a championship. And so that desperation, it's not just the energy of the East Coast that's always there. It's the energy plus the desperation of, damn, it's been a long time since we held up that trophy. As a matter of fact, I don't even know if Larry O'Brien was born.
It wasn't even a Larry O'Brien trophy back then. Look, my parents weren't even in high school when the Knicks last won an NBA championship. You know what I mean? Like, what do we, like, Knicks fans who walk around with their nose in the air, I do think that they are among the most passionate, you know, sports bases. You know what I mean? When you travel on the Acela to Philadelphia and you take over that building, you are pot committed, you know what I mean, to your team. But you are so right that they consider themselves to be so sophisticated. They believe, Michael, you know what's funny? They are closer to being Gary Carter's Washington Bullets, Wizards, whatever we call them nowadays, than they are the Boston Celtics. But they think they're the Celtics. They think they got 17, 18 championships. They think they got all the banners on the walls. You know what I mean?
They got memories. So the Knicks, you know, the Knicks are like, ooh, we start off talking about hockey. Believe it or not. Two brothers talking about hockey. That should be our podcast. Two brothers on hockey. Anyway. We started off talking about hockey, but the Knicks are to the NBA what Toronto is to hockey. So the Hockey Hall of Fame, you don't know, you didn't know this. The Hockey Hall of Fame
is in Toronto.
You didn't know that.
Yeah,
you?
Yeah.
You knew that?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I knew that.
Okay, all right. Don't mean to disrespect you. All right. So Hockey Hall of Fame.
I don't know anything else, but I think I knew that.
That's right. So Toronto is kind of like the epicenter of hockey in Canada. That's the first city. But the Toronto Maple Leafs haven't won a championship since the 60s, even before the Knicks. They haven't won a championship since the 60s, but you go to Toronto, that's when you put your good clothes on. That's when you get cleaned up because, okay, here we are. This is a place where the game matters. And New York is like
right,
that.
Right,
you think
right.
about Kobe going to New York and going off, and LeBron going to New York and going off, the double nickel for Jordan and Madison Square Garden, and he was number 45, all that stuff. Yes, in New York, you want to show out. But as for the team, okay. Well, you know, enough about them. Because you start off by saying you're in Denver.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You're in Denver, and I thought we would be talking to you in Denver. Here we go, Vinny. The Nuggets won. They're up 1-0, defending NBA champs. This is what they do. Home court, on and on. That's not what happened in game one. Let's listen to Anthony Edwards and Jokic talk about game one, and then we'll come back and get your take on it.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Going against the best player in the world is always fun. Going against the best team in the world is always fun. And like I said, man, they're well coached. They're disciplined. They're not going to beat themselves. And I feel like our coaching staff did a great job of game planning throughout the 3-4 days that we had. And our guys came out and competed tonight. So it's not about just me personally. It's about my team. You know, they give me confidence also. I mean, seeing in the third quarter, I didn't do anything. I was just out there running up and down. And Mike and Kat came out big for us, so that gave me confidence, you know, to try to find myself.
What's the adjustment that you can make to, you know, Rudy Gobert's length and, you know, not only that, them just rotating three fresh bigs on you, you know, for most of the game?
To have a duplicate clone of myself, and then I can... You know, I can be fresh. When they sub another guy, I'm going to be fresh.
So he didn't really give you an answer there because he knows.
Oh, he
got
gave
three
you
guys.
An answer. He gave you yeah. an answer.
Yeah, he didn't give a realistic excuse me. He didn't give a realistic answer. I don't think it's realistic. What'd you see from this game? What'd you see from Anthony Edwards? Oof. That, you know, that informs your, I don't know what, I'm stumbling because I'm not sure how you saw the series before it started. Did anything you see or anything that you heard inform the way you look at the series now?
I thought the champs were going to win the series. I didn't think it was going to be comfortable. I thought it was going to be, you know, one of those beautiful struggles. I thought at the end of two games, it was going to be tied 1-1. At the end of four games, it'll be tied 2-2. And then, you know, you go from courting. Like, we're still in the courting period. You know what I mean, Michael? Mm. You know what that is, right? You know what courting is.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. I mean, I've heard of it. I heard of the concept. I don't know exactly what it is, but I've heard of it. We're still in the courting period. We ain't dancing yet. We just talking, courting, right? We talking, right? So I was not surprised by Anthony Edwards' performance. I looked at all those guys defending him. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Reggie Jackson, Aaron Gordon, Justin Holl. Like, they literally threw the book at that dude. And he showed a sophistication. He showed an adult-like approach to the game. And I didn't expect him to have solved Denver's defense in game one. Now, here's what I expect to happen in game two, because this is where the chess match begins, Michael Holly. For one, Michael Malone's dad, the late Brendan Malone, was an architect of the Jordan rules, right? Jordan rules, physical, beat you up, beat you down, all that stuff. And I've said on here many times that Anthony Edwards moves like Michael Jordan. Like, there's just the fluidity in the way that he plays. I'm not saying that he is. I'm not going to go that far. You know, I know some people want to go that far. I think Ant is going to be his own man, his own player. And there's a lot of similarities to 23, mind you. But with that being said,
he sounds like a young 23, too. He sounds like him. Just right there.
Country draw.
I could hear.
The country draw. Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds unbelievable.
Like it.
Anyway.
So what's going to happen tonight? I know.
I don't want to get lured into that trap. I don't want to get lured into it. But I'm starting to. But go ahead.
Look. What? It's almost like Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to say it because you don't want to say it, but it just looks so familiar, right? It just looks so familiar. So tonight and for the rest of the series, I'm going to see if the Denver Nuggets are going to give Anthony Edwards a little bit more physical treatment. If they're going to, we'll say not beat him up, but if they're going to take the game to him, because he's a big, strong dude. And he took the game to them. He dominated the game from a physical standpoint on Saturday night. Are they going to give him that treatment on the other end? Look, man, this ain't skinny Michael Jordan here. You know, like, he's 22, and this is his second playoff run. It usually takes time, Michael. It usually takes time for 22-year-olds to understand the pace of the playoffs, the physicality, the force, the concentration. If he's figured this out already, baby, everybody's in trouble. Not just the champs, the entire league is in trouble, and you might as well hand over the next 6 Junes to Anthony Edwards if he has figured it out already.
I think he may have. I think Anthony Edwards at 22 has figured this out. I think that a couple of things you mentioned are right on point. Number one, physical. The physical size of Anthony Edwards. So if you go back, and I'm glad you mentioned Brendan Malone, because Brendan Malone and the Pistons used to wear the Bulls out. You know this. You saw it up close. They were the bad boy Pistons. They enjoyed it. They embraced it. They had some dudes that not only did you not want to run into those dudes on the basketball court, you wouldn't just want to run into those dudes, period. Okay? Like, you know, Rick Mahorn, Big Buddha, James Edwards, you know, Sally Rodman, like over the years, they had a bunch of those dudes.
Lambeer. Don't forget about the head goon Lambeer.
Hey, Lambeer. And I'm going to tell you what, even the guard, like Vinny Johnson was a microwave, not known for his defense, but he can give you a look. Like, I might. Oh, I might. Okay. Oh, you want to try me? You know, like the Pistons just had those cats. And Jordan, and he talks about this with his trainer. Was it Tim Grover? Tim Grover really started working with Jordan, and you'd see him, and he'd have the videos and the pictures of him in the gym, Scotty and Michael in the gym, just trying to get strong. They had to get stronger to even deal with the rigors of the East, and specifically the Pistons. Well, Anthony Edwards doesn't have that issue, and also the issue he doesn't have, maybe this is the second apron era coming into effect, Vinny, is that these teams aren't constructed for long amounts of time where you got to go through that maze to get to the next level. You got to pay your dues, and it may take you 2 years. Well, okay, I know a few years ago the Phoenix Suns were championship contenders. They're not anymore. The Lakers won a championship 4 years ago, but they're not close to winning a championship now. Like, the Warriors won 2 years ago. 2 years ago, they won a championship. This time, they were a 10th seed. They were a 10th seed that didn't make it out of the play-in round. So there's not that ogre standing in front of the standing in front of the O'Brien Trophy saying, you got to pay your dues before you pass here.
No, so it's the team they're playing now. It's the team they're playing now. Like, I'm not going to be so quick to write off the champion Denver Nuggets. I'm not going to do that. Now, if Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is hurting and he doesn't look like himself, and Jamal Murray's calf, you know what I mean? If they're not close to 90% or close to 100%, the door is open. But I don't think the champions are just
going to give this up. But they're not the same as they were last year. They're not even the same team.
You don't have to be.
Just as long as they got that guy? As long as they got Jokic? Yeah.
The best player in the game. He's inevitable. He's going to beat you up. Like the fact that Minnesota has the players to throw at him, from Rudy Gobert to Karl Towns to Naz Reid. Like, you can maybe sort of start to wear him down, and you're going to pressure him up 40 feet or 90 feet or whatever it is. But he's going to make his own adjustments. Michael Malone's going to make his adjustments too. Mm-hmm. So I would expect the champions to issue a resounding response tonight. Resounding. Like, champions don't become champions and the first test that they receive, they give it up. I picked the Nuggets to win this series.
And you're going to stick with it?
I have to, right? I'm not a person that's going to waffle. Yes, you do.
Hey, you don't have,
yes,
it's you not do. Called, you, it's you not called
to,
waffling.
You have to be a man. You have to be a man of your word and integrity. That's what that is.
You feel that way all the time? All the
what
time?
What you trying to say?
What if information
what you trying to
changes?
Say?
Hey,
what
hey,
you trying
listen,
to say?
I'm saying there are things that happen. Okay, I'm going to use another example because I don't want to be accused of putting anything on anybody. Okay, so let's go back to the bubble. The Lakers, was it Lakers Heat Championship? And let's say you say, I'm going with the Lakers and nothing is going to change my mind. What if Anthony Davis had gotten hurt after game one? You can't say, well, I stuck with it. Information should change your opinion. It's not waffling. It's, oh, this is a stream of information I hadn't considered, or this is something I didn't know. A circumstance has spun this thing around a little bit, and now I may have to reconsider, such as a 22-year-old number one overall pick playing like he's 27. Way too early. He's too early. This is not supposed to happen right now.
You're right. Yeah, yeah. He's ahead of schedule. He's ahead of schedule. This is the scary part, Michael Holly, is that if he's playing with the maturity, right? Like, we saw Kobe Bryant in 2001. I think Kobe was 22, 23 years old then. And the Lakers ran through the postseason. That might have been the single greatest playoff team we've ever seen. With apologies to the 2017 Warriors, right? Prime Shaq, young Kobe. And Kobe had sort of taken over in a way that you're like, man, is Kobe the best player in the league now? And it only happened in the playoffs. In the regular season, you didn't say it. But in the playoffs, when the brights were lighter, and he, and did I say brights were lighter? Is light,
you were,
lights
I was
were
saying,
brighter.
Did you do that? That was dope.
I was going at, yeah,
I thought you did
yeah,
that on purpose. Yeah.
No, I did not. I did not. That was okay. I was not pulling a Kendrick Lamar. That was
the
not a
brights
double
were lighter.
That
is.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, brights were lighter. That was nice. That's not it. That's not it. I would say as a funny thing, I wound up getting metaphors mixed up on the radio once, like years ago. And I said, you can fly, a blind squirrel can find a nut twice a day or something like that. Like, I wound up getting the broken clock and the blind squirrel all in one. And I think that's what I
get
did
them all
with,
together.
With the bright light, you know, with the light brights and all that type of stuff. But the point about Kobe was, that's the year that Kobe got 48-16 on Sacramento. That was the year that he completely dominated the San Antonio Spurs of David Robinson and Tim Duncan. If this is where we are with Anthony Edwards, I'm not saying we are there. Like, I'm resisting the urge.
Okay.
I'm resisting the urge to say that this is his league, right? This can still be his league, and they don't have to win this series. Like, the Minnesota Timberwolves don't have to win this series. The Denver Nuggets have to win this series. They have to win another championship.
Do they?
To be fully dead. Yes, they do. Yes, they
Why?
Do. They have to win a championship.
Because?
Because you don't want to be one of those five teams that have won championships the last 5 years, right? Those
it's
teams are looked
up
as one-offs.
Though, isn't it?
Yeah, but,
what the league
but, if,
is.
But if you want to be different, if you want, look, the Lakers won a championship, but LeBron, that was number four. Golden State won a championship, but that was number four. It's a continuation of legacies that were already cemented. Denver, this is their first championship. That's the first banner that's in that building. And now you have a superstar in his prime, not late prime, in the dead center of his prime. He's going to win his third MVP this year.
Wow.
This week. This week he's going to win his third MVP. And that means we're going to hold you up to a certain amount of scrutiny. If you win a third MVP and you get knocked out in the second round, we can't be talking about you in the way that we're talking about Bird,
especially
and Magic,
as a defending
and Jordan,
champ.
And as a defending
knocked out in the
champ,
second round as a defending champ. Yeah,
you have to defend your title. So the reason I picked Denver to win this series is because Denver has to win this series. It's imperative that they win this series. That's why.
All right. So, listen, we're talking about just two teams or four teams that are playing right now. Four teams that are playing. So we got Pacers, Knicks, exciting. We've got Nuggets. We got Timberwolves.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Exciting. Ooh, great. Then there's a dude who's not playing. His team made the playoffs and he still wasn't playing. His name is Jimmy Butler. You covered him when you were working in Chicago. He was a member of the Chicago Bulls. He's not playing. And, you know, we all know people like this. Okay, now Jimmy Butler is a All-NBA player, you know, he's got an All-NBA background and, you know, he's been an All-Star half dozen times and, you know, has a nice career and has carried teams. Playoff Jimmy is a thing. But when you ain't playing, you know some people who don't play, but they just sit there and they just talk a lot of trash, but they don't be like, hey, well, why don't you come out here? Well, if I could, in my day, you lucky I got these shoes on. You lucky I got this cast on. Like, okay, listen to Jimmy Butler. Listen to Jimmy Butler talking at a Rock the Bells radio event about the NBA playoffs. Here he is.
Yo, video this. You got it?
Yep.
One, two, three, action. If I was playing, Boston would be at home. New York, damn sure would be at home. Y'all talk.
I was
talking to me. That's right. Yo, stop. Come on, man. Nah, I love Tiz, but I don't want to. I love Tiz. I love you, baby. I want to beat you to a pulp. You want me. I don't want you. It's like a one-sided relationship. You in love with me, and I love you, but I'm not in love with you. You know what I'm saying? Love my brother.
So first thing I want to know is what was in that cup. Okay, what was in that cup, Jimmy, that you had at the radio event? Secondly, Jimmy Butler played 60 games this year. He played 60 games, played zero playoff games. After they won their one playoff game of the first round, they won their one playoff game. He's out there on these social media streets, Jimmy, you know, tweeting, trying to troll Jaylen Brown. Don't let us get one. It's 1-1 coming back. They go back to Miami. He still says they're going to beat the Celtics. Sit down, Jimmy. Sit down. I'm so tired of Jimmy Butler in the Miami Heat. They talk so much. Yeah, but remember we talked about earlier? We talked earlier about the Knicks having a lot of confidence from a championship that was won in 1973. But I understand that. That's a fan base. They're excited. They just love basketball. What I don't understand is the Miami Heat putting Heat culture on their court. Dwayne Wade ain't coming through that door. LeBron James left 10 years ago. What's Heat culture? What's Heat culture? What's Heat culture? Y'all don't want no championships, but you talk like a champion. You've got banners, but currently, Duncan Robinson is not Heat culture to me. I'm sorry. Terry Rozier is not Heat culture.
Is the Boston in you coming out? Is that what this is?
Jimmy, no, it's not Boston. Because you know what? If Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown said, hey, we're the Boston Celtics, and there's a way to do business around here. I'm like, you just play under banners. You haven't won a banner. What are you talking about? So Jimmy Butler has also not won a banner. He's sending teams home from the sideline. Please explain. You know him much better than I do. I don't know him at all. I just know him as a really rugged, talented basketball player when he's on the court. But too often, brother ain't on the court. So why are you talking?
I mean, do you expect him to be quiet? Have you not seen Jimmy Butler's movies? Like, this is what he does. He is a top troll.
When you ain't playing, be quiet.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
You go send somebody home. You woulda.
But he has. When you think of teams in the Eastern Conference, when you think of teams who are the powers, you think of the Celtics, you think of the Knicks, you think of the Milwaukee Bucks, the Miami Heat has sent all of those teams home recently. Recently. Yes. Remember, you know,
last 3 years. Yep.
Send them home. And there's one team out of the last 5 years who has gone to the NBA Finals multiple times in this age of parity. Now, the Heat haven't won it, but they've gotten to the NBA Finals two times, right? So, yeah, and this year was a step back. But I feel like I look at the roster and I say, that's not a Jimmy Butler problem. That's a Miami Heat problem. Like, is Jimmy Butler the best player on a championship team? He still could be. He's on the back end of that.
No.
You don't think so?
No. You don't think so either. Like, listen, you like him. And now you said, is this a reporter? Is this the Chicago in you coming out? Where you say, you don't think so.
I'm from Detroit. I'm from Detroit.
I know, but I'm saying you're from Detroit, but you worked in Chicago. This is the Chicago Vinny Goodwill working in Chicago.
I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you a story. All right?
All right, story time.
All right, guys. So this was back when the Golden State Warriors used to practice in Oakland. They practiced on top of the Oakland Marriott, right? Downtown Oakland, right? Jimmy Butler is just shooting around in there. He's playing for the Bulls. I'm covering the Bulls. Jimmy decides to strike up a conversation with me. He says, you got me, you've got Paul George, you got Kawhi Leonard. Who are you taking out of the three of us? And I'm looking around and I'm like, should I kiss Jimmy's ass right now? And of course, me being me, I'm like, I'm taking you last. This is like Kawhi in San Antonio. This is Paul George in Indiana.
Yeah.
I said, I'm taking those guys first. I'm taking Kawhi first, taking Paul second, I'm taking you last. Like, you're a good player, but you ain't those dudes. He looked me dead in the face and said, I'm going to prove to you that I'm better than both of those guys. So when you say the Chicago and me is coming up, that ain't really my get down. Okay? I do think that the Miami Heat roster needs help. I do think that Jimmy is a star co-star on a team that goes to the NBA Finals. I'm sorry. I don't look at the Boston Celtics and find myself very impressed by them, at least not until they actually win something. Like, I think the way that they play is very, it's very.
Thank you. Say it again. Say it again. Yes. Yes. Until they win something. Yeah. What you said.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're asking me. What? Win something. So you think, Jimmy Butler has to win to talk?
Oh, well, listen, you said you're not impressed, but he talks like he can talk anytime he wants. Okay. Obviously. Yeah. Talk anytime you want. But I think you need to be called out when you're talking about who you would have sent home if you had been out there and you weren't out there. Like, you, Jimmy Butler hasn't played 65 games. It ain't been the 1990s like we were talking about at the beginning of the show, but he hasn't played 65 games. It's been 5-6 years since he played 65 games in the regular season. So
I agree, he has to take the regular season more seriously. I agree.
And here's the other thing. Okay. He's not even at the threshold of getting an award, right? Isn't that 65? You got to get to 65, get these awards now. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to question his injuries, but I will say this. I'm not questioning his injuries. If you take some of the best players in basketball, players who are at Jimmy Butler's level or better, and you say, hey, just take it easy in the regular season and come back for the playoffs, they might be playoff Paul, playoff Jason, playoff Tyrese too. Like, okay, so you're about it in the playoffs. Yeah, but you really didn't go through the rigors of the regular season like some of these dudes you're competing against. And now you're talking like you're either on their level, some of these champions, or above them. I think there's just so much protection. I'm not saying you're doing this. But there's so much protection of the Jimmy Butler brand and so much inflation. He's inflated, is what I'm saying. Mm. He's an inflated player. He's an all-star player, but he's not a first-team all-NBA player. And he's not a champion, and yet we talk about him like he's those two things, all-NBA champion. He's not that. Calm down. That's all.
Look, there's some guys who are champions who we don't give respect to for inane reasons. So I don't think it's his hard and fast thing. I think you're being a little harsh on him. I don't look at that Miami Heat roster. I go back. I look at that Miami Heat roster, minus Jimmy Butler, and I say, you can put a top 10 player on that, whoever your top 10 player is, and they still probably wouldn't be any further than where they are right now. Or you put Luka Doncic there, and then you take Luka Doncic off. They wind up losing in the first round. So you take Miami Heat's best player off the roster, Jimmy Butler, who got hurt, legitimately hurt. Like, he wasn't sitting. No, he wasn't chilling. You know what I mean?
If they let Luka be free, they'd be better. But you got to come into the grinder of Heat culture. We got to change you because the way you came in is not good enough. You got to come in and you got to prove your toughness.
What is this Miami Heat hate coming from? I didn't know that you were the chairman.
It's too much.
You need to come back. You know what? You need to come back with a purple hat, like Ice-T in the Player Haters Bar. You are like Silky Johnston today, man. What is wrong with you?
I know, man. Look, I love champions. I give respect to all the champs. Like, you go Toronto Raptors and Kawhi, I'll give them their love. I'll give the Warriors their love. You know, great champions, the Cavs, all these teams that have won it, I'll give you your props. But when you start to just start to continue to weave your non-championship narrative, it just annoys me. It annoys me. It does. I got to admit that. Okay. Speaking of something else that annoys me, I'm off. I'm going to stop. I'm going to get off the hatred of the Miami Heat. Although you can't spell heat without hate. Okay.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to move on from them. And I'm going to talk about the Los Angeles Lakers. Also a team that, or a front office, ownership group, GM. I don't know. Is it Rob Pelinka? Is it Jenny Buss? Is it LeBron James? Who are a little out of touch with the roster that they have and the expectations and what can be done. They fired Darvin Ham. They fired Darvin Ham just after we did the show. I was here with Mike Smith on Friday. We did the show on Friday, and right after we ended the show, Darvin Ham is fired. And I said, I can't wait to talk about this. So first year, rookie coach. He's never been a head coach before. Rookie head coach, Darvin Ham. First year, they take on the Nuggets in the conference finals. The Lakers got to the conference finals a season after they won, what, 33, 35 games, whatever, the year before Darvin got there. They beat the Warriors in the playoffs. They take out the number two seed, Memphis Grizzlies, in the playoffs. And then they, you know, Western Conference Finals, they got what their roster deserved, a sweep.
Right.
At the hands of the Denver Nuggets. This year, bad start, get off to a bad start, turning around, and hey, congratulations. You know who you draw in the first round? The Denver Nuggets.
Your
roster is really not much better than it was last year when you overachieved, but you just got Denver at a different time. And so now Darvin Ham, after two postseasons, is fired. I'm asking you, Vinny Goodwill, why? Why? Can you tell me?
Well, Michael Holly, the answer is complicated. Because I believe you can make the case. I believe you can make the case to fire 20 of the 30 NBA coaches if you want to. You fire someone not because you have to. You fire someone because you want to. You can say two things. You can say that Darvin Ham was both scapegoated and also possibly not the person who could lead the Lakers into a championship iteration next season, right? You can say that he was scapegoated because he didn't select Jalen Hood-Sofino in the first round of the NBA draft with Jaime Jaquez Jr. coming right behind him, with Brandon Podziemski right behind him. One of those two guys would have helped. You know, he wasn't the guy that signed Cam Reddish or Christian Wood, you know, two guys who were not contributors for the Lakers this year. You're going to look at Darvin Ham, you're going to say, Darvin, the margin of error was very thin for you this season. And after the in-season tournament, and they go 2-8 or whatever it was, and he benches Austin Reeves, he benches D'Angelo Russell. If that seals his fate, right? Let's just say that sealed his fate, because that put them in a position where they're in the play-in, that put them in a position where you have to play the Denver Nuggets and you lose. I think they were going to lose in the first round no matter who they played. They were going to lose to Oklahoma City if they played them. They were. They were going to lose to Minnesota if they played them, as evidenced by what we're seeing from Minnesota right now. They were going to lose no matter who was there. But if the margin of error was so thin, not only should Darvin Ham, yes, have been fired, it means he shouldn't have been hired in the first place. If the margin of error is that thin because the roster ain't that good and you haven't done enough to upgrade the roster, and the fact that your two best players are old and hurt, then he didn't have a chance to begin with, and maybe he didn't necessarily help himself. Two things can be true at the same time.
Okay, so so I get it. All right, complicated. And this is going to sound ridiculous, but we're going on the same path as I look at your feed, 10 coaches in 20 years for LeBron James. We suspect that LeBron has a tremendous say, especially I'll give him a pass on two of the 10 early in his career.
But still,
that's a reach.
Who?
Even
what two?
He probably had something to say about Paul Silas, right? He has something to say about Paul Silas, first coach.
Maybe. Right?
Okay. He has something to say about who's coaching him. And we know he loves talking about basketball, and he has very strong opinions about how the game should work. And we suspect that not only is he a brilliant player, he's a coach on the floor, in the huddle, in the locker room, on the plane. The only coaching thing he doesn't do is talk to the media regularly as in the official position of coach. But he does a lot of that,
right,
too.
And he's
an executive. And he's an executive. He's put teams together. So this sounds crazy. Why wouldn't he be in this era? He could be a player coach if he wanted to deal with the accountability of it. Now, as far as mechanics of it, mechanics are fine. Because when Bill Russell was a player coach in the 1960s, Red Auerbach to Bill Russell, hey, you coach yourself, Russell. He ain't have, they were no second row of coaches. They weren't like teams of trainers and video people and all this support. It was just a bunch of dudes in their Chuck Taylors, in their low-cut Chuck Taylors, and maybe a coach or two holding a clipboard. That's it. And Dave Cowens was a player coach for a while in the 70s. And same thing. But Magic did it. Dabbled.
Are you suggesting? For a little bit. Are you suggesting?
Bring it on.
That LeBron James.
You can do it.
Should be the player
it
coach.
It could be done. Yes.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
He could do it. He got absolutely the support not. For it. The only obstacle is accountability.
And
accountability
that's why,
is the only obstacle.
If you become the head coach, you have nobody to blame. And that's right. That's why there won't be. But I think there are only 30 of these jobs. So you have to be careful with that. But I wonder what head coach is worth their salt is going to look at it and say, you know what? I would want to take this dead-end job. Because I don't know who signs up for 60 games of LeBron James, maybe 65 games of Anthony Davis, an ill-fitting roster. Like, okay, maybe they get Trae Young this offseason, right? Does that make them markedly better? Does that turn them from a 47-win team to a 55-win team?
Nope.
I don't know. I don't think it does. I don't think that Trae Young is that much better than D'Angelo Russell. He is better, but I don't know if he's that much better that turns you from being a play-in team, which, you know, they've been a play-in team for quite a few years now. Like, they've been the play-in team. They've been the signature play-in team since the play-in has begun, right?
Right.
Like, a friend of mine, Bomani Jones, calls the play-in the LeBron James Invitational. Like, that's what it's turned out to be.
See,
over
Bomani's
the past
right
few years.
That.
You know
that's
what I'm saying?
Hey,
but he ain't wrong. He may not be right, but he ain't wrong.
He ain't so right. But he ain't wrong either.
But he ain't wrong. So when you look at it, you have to. The question is, what is the profile of a Laker coach that you want? Do you want a veteran coach who's been there, done that before? Or are you kind of worried about that? You know what I mean? Or do you want a young coach that you can mold? The problem is with young coaches, that young coaches are going to make first-time head coaching mistakes. And that roster is not built in such a way that it can absorb first-time coaching mistakes. I'll tell you this. Steve Kerr was not a great coach when he first took over for Golden State. He wasn't.
Huh.
They just handed him the keys to a Ferrari, and he had a system that the players could kind of, you know, factory override some of the, you know, growing pains of being a head coach. Like, when you saw the 2016 Warriors in the playoffs and in the NBA Finals, Tyronn Lue ran circles around Steve Kerr from a coaching standpoint. But Steve Kerr learned and has become a much better coach throughout time. I think that happens with first-time head coaches. You go through it, you learn, you make mistakes, but sometimes your team isn't good enough to override your mistakes. I don't know if the Lakers will ever be good enough to override a first-time head coach's mistakes that inevitably the first-time head coach is going to make. So if that's the case, you have to go get an experienced guy. The problem is, who takes the job knowing that you're only going to last maybe a year and a half, maybe two?
This may be an unfair it's not an unfair question. No questions are unfair. Maybe there are unfair answers, but there are no unfair questions, I don't think, in this regard.
Okay.
When we come to LeBron and the coaches, Mm-hmm. Do you, when we have our inevitable GOAT debates, and we spread it out a little bit. It's not just, you know, MJ versus LeBron. If we just talk about like the greatest players and why you think they're great, is this something that you hold against LeBron or any other great player where you've got to do all these things to get the field the way you want it to be? All right, I already talked about he's got to make the team the way he wants the team to be. He's got to have the coaches be a certain way, and he kind of cycles through these coaches until he gets the fit for the moment. And I know Magic had early in his career, Magic had some clashes with coaches, but Magic eventually settled in with Pat Riley. You know, you think Magic, you think Pat Riley. You think MJ, you think Phil Jackson. You think of Kobe and Shaq, you think of Phil Jackson again. And LeBron doesn't have that one coach. Is that to his advantage? Like, I'm so great, I don't need somebody's system to kind of be on my coattails. Or is it a negative that he's got to just be so involved, he's got to micromanage this thing to get what he wants?
I think in some ways, LeBron is a victim of his own intelligence. Like, sometimes you have to be smart enough to realize that you're going to learn something from someone. But if you feel like you have all the answers, if you know you're the basketball genius, which LeBron is, his IQ is off the charts, right? Then no coach is ever going to be good enough. No coach is ever going to be able to reach that small part of your brain that doesn't know something and give you that knowledge. Like, you know, there's a trust factor. You talked about all these different coach and player combinations. Magic trusted Pat Riley. Michael Jordan trusted Phil Jackson. Shaq trusted Phil Jackson. Kobe didn't at first, but it came to trust Phil Jackson. LeBron has never met a basketball mind who he's respected enough to follow. Like LeBron, if you ever notice, those players played in a system, right? And I've spoken about this before, but you know, Michael played in a triangle offense, which was not the best offense for Michael Jordan's individual talents. It was the best offense for everybody around him. Magic Johnson was Showtime, like the pace and all other type of stuff, right? LeBron is a system unto himself, but has never fit in a system. And I think that's kind of been to his detriment. I think physically, you can say talent-wise and everything else, the most gifted basketball player to ever play. But some things, sometimes that, you know, the margins are thin, and sometimes it's coaching, sometimes it's system, sometimes it's, you know, just individual things like, you know, Tyronn Lue telling LeBron, go play some defense against Draymond Green when Draymond was lighting them up in game 7 of the 2016 NBA Finals, and LeBron went and shut his water off. You know what I mean? Like, it's little things. So LeBron has to listen to somebody. Right. But if you're LeBron and you have all the answers, it's almost like this. There's the best answer, and then there's the right answer. LeBron always knows the best answer. But is the best answer the right answer? You know what I mean? Or maybe it's vice versa. Maybe I mix metaphors again. You know what I mean? LeBron always knows the right thing to do, but it's the best thing to do. You know what I mean? And that's what I think sometimes comes into play here. And I don't know what coach is going to have the intelligence, going to have the resume that's going to make LeBron stand down as he reaches, you know, 40, 41. Like, that ain't old in life, but in basketball, that's old as hell. What are we doing here?
Well,
shouldn't any time he'll go home and be a family man? Why is he still playing?
Hey, he loves the game. Loves the game. Wants to be out there. Tell people what to do. Maybe he wants to get to 15 coaches. Want to be the all-time leading scorer and the player who's played for the most coaches too. But you know, you mentioned something like, oh, you know, his basketball mind. We've seen it. We've seen it, and we've seen it as fans. But if you want a little bit more, we've seen it and heard it on his podcast with J.J. Redick. And I've heard some people float the name J.J. Redick. Now, I think that would be a terrible idea for J.J. Okay. Oh, J.J., this is a setup, bruh. It's a setup. Okay, terrible idea for him. I don't know if he's up for the job, but even if you are up for the job, bad idea. Terrible job for the L.A. Lakers. I mean, terrible idea for the Lakers. Probably a good idea for now for LeBron, because I don't know what his we talked about the floaters last week. I don't know what his astrological sign is. I'm a Pisces. So I know, I don't know if he's a, he, what is he? It's December. He's got Capricorn or something like that.
LeBron's a Capricorn. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what they're known for. I know Pisces, Aquarius, like we go hot and cold on you in a second. LeBron has got some Pisces tendencies. Okay. Yeah, yes. This is a great idea. Ghost. I could talk to him before. What happened? Hey, he was saying nice things about me. I think it would be an awful idea for J.J. Redick, even though it seems like a good idea in May. By November or December, he's cold on you. What do you think about that idea?
Well, LeBron is a Capricorn, and I'm not big into the super big into the astrology stuff, but the Capricorns I know, they're controlling as hell. Like, that's the one thing that they got. They are controlling as all hell. And maybe that's where you see this hot and cold stuff. It ain't hot and cold. It is controlling. And if you don't do what I want you to do, then I become cold on you. I'll be hot on you as long as you do what I say. That type of thing, right? But if J.J. Redick comes in as an inexperienced head coach from doing a podcast with LeBron James, how much respect does he have in that locker room to start off with? If it's kind of known that the stars will be able to pick the head coaches and everything else or save the head coaches. But a great relationship with Stephen Curry, right? But nobody looks at the Golden State Warriors and says, oh, Steph is coaching the team. No, Steve Kerr is coaching the team. Steph allows him to be coached. Will LeBron allow himself to be coached by someone that obviously he considers a friend and J.J. Redick and a peer? Like, that's a tough relationship to navigate. And how do you hold somebody accountable in that way who basically makes sure that you have your job? Like, as great of a player as LeBron James is, he still needs to be coached. He still needs to be held accountable. And if you bring in the coach, then that dismantles the relationship, that dismantles sort of like the hierarchy, the way that the coach should be respected from day one. So while it sounds like a good idea on paper, I think it would be a disaster, not necessarily just for LeBron, but for every other player on that roster. Because how are you going to be able to earn and maintain and develop respect with players on the roster when they feel like that LeBron is pulling your strings?
Now, listen, I got a couple of things from the control room that lead me right into our final mini topic. Because our final mini topic, because I feel like this will go somewhere. This will go somewhere.
Okay.
From the control room, you were talking about Steve Kerr, and he wasn't a good coach in the beginning of his Warriors tenure. Natalie says he still ain't a good coach.
Set Natalie up right there.
Boom.
Look, I love it. Look, Natalie thinks Boyz II Men is better than Jodeci. She does not credibility in such things.
We ain't starting to Drake Kendrick beef here. We ain't getting diss tracks here. We ain't starting that thing. We ain't getting that going.
I'm just playing Natalie. Okay. I'm joking. I'm just messing with you.
And the second thing from the control room, Gary Carter wants to know, is your ex a Capricorn? Way you talk about Capricorn.
Whoa. No,
being controlling
no.
as hell. Okay. But it leads me to this.
I'm a Sagittarius and I have dated Sagittarians before. That's what I will say.
Okay. Yeah, and not that I have a memory of what, you know, typically, you know, what sign goes with what characteristic or trait, but I would think that's probably not a great idea. You know, whether you're Gemini, Sagittarius, that's probably risky.
Yes.
A little risky.
Very much so.
Okay.
Very much so.
Yes. The very simple, succinct yes tells me everything I need to know.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now, let me ask you this. It's my mini topic, final one. Tom Brady had a roast last night. The greatest roast. They roasted Tom Brady. Kevin Hart was there. Bill Belichick was there. Robert Kraft, you know, all the, you know, comedians and actors. Kim Kardashian, lots of people just going at Tom Brady pretty good. And going at some people in the audience as well. And there's some stuff like, you know, Tom Brady on Deflategate was pretty funny. He was like, hey, NFL spent $20 million. They spent $20 million to figure out, well, before I'll tell you, I'm not going to mess up the joke. Here's some sound from Tom Brady last night.
Remember Deflategate? The NFL spent $20 million and found that it was more probable than not that I was generally aware that someone may have deflated my footballs. You could have just given me the 20 million and I would have just told you I did it.
You know, for all of you out there that think about who's responsible for the Patriots' success during the time when Tom and I were there, was it Brady, was it me, was it Brady, was it me? In reality, the truth of the matter is, it was both of us because of me.
I mean, they had some good stuff. If Brady comes back, they're like, look, you know, this whole thing, nobody ever asked a car driver who's a champion, hey, tell me about the guy who gassed you up. I'm like, it's the driver. You know, it's me. So they're going back and forth. They're having a good time. But my question for you is, at the Vinnie Goodwill roast, at the Michael Holly roast, who's invited? Who are we giving a mic to? Who we go? Who's the MC? Who's this doing this? I mean, the ex-girlfriends have to be invited. They have to be. Or no? No? Oh, see, now already the roast is no fun. Now we got too many parameters. Like last night, Tom Brady told, there was a Robert Kraft joke, and it was a good joke for a roast. Then Brady goes up and like, hey, don't say that bleep again. Come on.
There's a couple, the Shampoo Chronicles. I think they could need the shampoo thing.
I need that thing.
The Shampoo Chronicles, that would work at a Vinnie roast. I would be able to laugh at that. I'd be able to laugh at anything that, you know, came out of that. You know what I mean? Like that's fine. And you know what it
and
felt
all
like?
The people. What all people. Like?
No, last night felt like a Bill Belichick roast more than a Tom Brady roast. It just felt like a Bill Belichick roast featuring Tom Brady.
He had a good line when he said, hey, this Brady roast should not be confused with the Bill Belichick roast, which you saw in a 10-part Apple Plus docuseries. I mean, they were going places I never thought they would go. Tom Brady brought up Bill Belichick being caught on a Ring camera with his shirt off here in the Boston area because he was kind of, you know, waking up 6-7 o'clock in the morning after coming from somebody's house. And, you know, he was, and he brought that up. I was like, yo.
You can't do, no. I mean, that, look, man, inside jokes.
It's a
inside.
Lot better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a lot better than I thought it would be. But I
you should have been there. I'm surprised you've written books. You've written books?
Yes.
Why weren't you invited? You should have been on stage. Look, if they got Kevin Hart on stage, you know, we got to have one more. Yeah, represent.
Me, Kevin Hart, I'm not sure. I wonder who had that conversation. I wonder what that thought process was like. But at my roast, Vinny, I want to let you know, I want you to be there. Nothing is off limits. You know, whatever you want to make fun of, obviously, everybody on the brother from another staff has to be there because these are people who see you. They see you behind the scenes. They know what you're really like. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, you got to go on camera and be all phony, but I know what you're really like. Okay, go ahead. Come on. That's what makes a roast fun. So I'm the same person. Yeah. Okay. To your roast, I'm inviting all your exes. I'm just letting you know. Don't be surprised.
It depends on what exes sit near each other. It's probably which exes sit near each other. You know what I mean?
That's entertaining too.
That would definitely be. I'd be looking around every 5 seconds to make sure no hands were being thrown. You know what I mean?
Yeah. See, that'd be fun. All right, Vinny. Hey, man. Always good to.
That ain't fun. That ain't fun. Bringing my exes to roast fun. Me. I don't know what makes you think that would be. Whoever came up with that, if that was Gary Carter in the control room as payback for the Washington Wizards joke, how dare you?
Hey, listen. Hey, the Wizards have been roasted so much over the last 50 years. That stuff just rolls off. It don't even stick anymore. Vinny, enjoy Denver. Enjoy the game tonight. We will check in with you later, brother. Take care.
Appreciate you.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.